Good morning, Cassie. Hello, Stanley.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning. I was waiting in a room, but sometimes when I wait in a room, it just doesn't work. So then I have to go back out and say, try again. It's like a good amount of us are here. It's good to see you all.
Yeah.
It looks like we have everyone but Joel.
All right. Well, we had so much to talk about. Maybe we'll just get going and hope Joel joins us eventually. Welcome. Happy New Year. I feel like that's a little late, but Happy New Year. Happy January. I don't know about you, but I was just telling my husband this January feels really long.
It does.
And so we're here once again. And since I want to get my agenda on the screen, so I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And the first thing I would like to say, are there any additions to the agenda today?
Mm-mm.
All right. And the second thing I would, or the next, would be the approval of minutes from December 17th. Does anyone have any comments? Have they had a chance to look over the minutes? Do you want to spend a second doing that if you haven't?
I move the adoption of the minutes.
Actually, I have a couple corrections. I was just waiting to make sure everyone else didn't have a moment. So if no one else has corrections while they're maybe looking over it, I have a couple.
I have it in front of me, so go ahead and give me your edits.
Aaron, under your report, it is mentioned that about the social media. Can we have it stated in the minutes that the manager denied the PAC's request for using social media account? So I'll say that again. The city manager denied the PAC's request for using a social media account.
Did they give a reason?
Yes, that the ability for organizations within the city to have their own social media is allowed for departments, not for advisory commissions.
Thanks. The second correction I have is under goals and action items, number two. And I just want to, this could be a past meeting, I'm not sure. But the last sentence says, Commissioner England stated that he would give a talk, there's not a to there, the Schneider Museum. Was that supposed to mean Commissioner England stated that he would be serving as a liaison to the Schneider Museum? I want to be clear on that.
I think that's much better.
So you're not giving a talk, you're serving as a liaison.
Right. I'll talk about it later. I was there yesterday briefly.
Okay. So I guess I would wanted to read. Commissioner England stated that he would serve as a liaison to the Schneider Museum.
Got it.
Cool. Those are the only two things I saw. Any other corrections to the minutes? Now I would love a motion.
I move the adoption of the minutes as corrected.
I'll second.
All those in favor, raise your hand. Anyone opposed? I think it passes. Thanks. All right, we're to the public forum. Honestly, I'm not sure who. Go ahead, Aaron.
So Shane Abrams from AHS is here to speak at public forum, and there's also another member of the public. It's identified as Andy. I presume it's Andy Stallman. I'm going to allow him to talk for a moment to see if he's here to speak at public forum.
Okay.
Andy, you can go ahead and unmute your mic if you would like.
I don't need to speak, Aaron. I'm just here to, I'm just checking in on the update on the MAP project.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And Shane, you can go ahead and unmute yourself.
Greetings, Aaron. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me today.
Aaron, would you like me to get started right now? Or are we holding off? I don't have an agenda in front of me.
Yes, this is your opportunity, I believe. Is it correct, Jennifer?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. And about how much time do I have? I don't want to occupy too much of the floor here.
How much time would you like to occupy?
I do 5 minutes. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Cool. And I don't need it right away, but Aaron, could you make it so that I can share a screen in a quick minute?
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to promote you to a panelist first, and then that's going to give you the ability to do that when necessary. All right, so he's rejoining as a panelist. All right, Shane, whenever you want to share your screen, you should have full permissions now.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Aaron. All right, and thank you so much to everyone here at PAC. It's a delight to see you again. For those of you who don't recall, I'm Shane Abrams. I use the pronouns that he, him, his. And I'm a humanities teacher at Ashland High School. The last time I was here with you, y'all were showing your support for the BIPOC celebration mural that the club I advise, Truth to Power, completed this past November. I'll admit to you, I was like pretty daunted at that first meeting because I've heard that like you have to be super prepared and they're like really rigorous at PAC, but I've come to realize that y'all are just like so supportive and like passionate about public art that you just want to actualize great vision. So I'm grateful to share a new project with you today. In my capacity as this year's Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Coordinator at Ashland High School. So before the pandemic, we were gifted a beautiful canoe at our school to install as a land recognition. This project got put on hold for a long time because of the pandemic, but we're picking things up again, and I want to tell you a little bit about what we're imagining. Today is sort of just like if here in public forum, a pre-proposal, a chance to share the idea. I'm hoping that we can have a finalized proposal in front of you at your March session. So I'm here today to share the idea and ask for any input, answer questions as we see fit. And I'll just take some vigorous notes on what the temperature and feelings of the commission are. Okay. So I'm coming at you with some images here. Start with this here. See that all right, Aaron?
Yes.
So this is the Otter Lifter. This is this beautiful canoe that was gifted to the school by Dan Wapapa, who is a respected member of the Indigenous community here in the Rogue Valley and a big advocate for Indigenous rights and decolonization. The Otter Lifter was a hand-carved canoe dug out of a single 365-year-old sugar pine tree. And it's this beautiful symbol and spiritual object that we're lucky to have at our school. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, it's been sitting here, as you can see, in the middle of our library just since then. So we're excited to pick things up and to get it installed to execute this vision. In March, I'll tell you a little bit more about the components of that vision. Today, I think I just want to tell you that it has sort of a threefold message. One is the kind of land recognition that you might be familiar with from OSF or from Ashland School Board meetings, things like this. That's all about truth-telling and history and land. The second is to signal to our Native students, our Native staff, and our Native community our support for them. And the third is to call our community to action in the face of climate crisis. I'll unpack that all a little bit more in March with you and answer any questions you have, but I see this as really appropriate for Ashland High School and Ashland School District, educational institutions that are trying to raise a new generation to create a safer, more inclusive, and habitable world. I'll show you a couple of visions here. My hope is to get a really beautiful CAD rendering for you by March. Today you have to deal with my like messy sketches. We're hoping to install the canoe right here along Siskiyou. There's this little outcropping at the district office parking lot. Y'all probably know the construction happening at AHS all along the quad and in these buildings with the bond project. This area should be relatively safe. It's also highly visible from campus, but it is in a public site, which means that people who want to visit the will not need to sign into the front office or present any sort of safety and security concern to the campus. This is sort of like a Photoshop rendering here. In addition to the canoe being installed, and this is to scale, in addition to the canoe being installed in this way, we're envisioning a native plant garden around the base of it, and then surrounding that native plant garden, river rock, to create some sort of buffer space between observation and the canoe. There will also be textual elements in English, Spanish, And we're thinking Tekelma is the native language that we'll use. I think that's all I want to share with you today. I kept it under 5 minutes, so thank you so much. I'm happy to take any input or answer any questions that you have that we have time for today.
Does anyone in the PAC have questions or comments?
Hi, Stephen.
I can't see you, actually. Let me fix
it. Okay. Thank you. I have a quick question on Vandal proofing the piece. And I'm sure you've considered that. Could you talk to us a little bit about that? It seems to be, it would seem to me to be possibly ripe for exposure to that kind of thing. I like the idea that it's on the boulevard, which helps out in terms of frequent visibility. But sir, could you speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. This is, of course, one of the first concerns that comes up when we raise this. And for a long time, there was discussion of whether or not we should house this indoors to prevent vandalism or to deter it. One of the important key parts of this vision is that it is outdoors in a more natural environment. So we sort of committed to that right away and started researching options. There are sort of psychological deterrents, like being in a public space on Siskiyou, like you mentioned, and the sort of like the native plant garden and the stones creating separation to prevent people from getting too close and having that temptation. There are more practical deterrents that we're going to use as well. We've budgeted for a solar powered floodlight. We're looking into additional cameras with the bond construction. We have this, you might recall from the mural presentation, there's this anti-vandalism clear coat that you can put on it. And it doesn't protect, of course, from carving, which is, you know, it's a wooden object. So one creative idea that a student presented was having a different space to invite people to tag instead. And I don't know if that's really the answer, but it is one of many that we're considering, because it would be really tragic to see this object harmed.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Other questions I can speak to right now?
Stanley.
Yeah, one. With any outdoor sculpture, especially things that are painted, there's always the possibility that the materials used to paint are not really permanent or are fugitive or subject to solar degradation. Do you have a plan on either occasionally having to touch that paint up, or have you thought about that, or have you done an analysis of the paints used there?
Certainly, yeah. This canoe is handmade, but it's no ancient artifact or anything. So the paints are pretty modern. They're pretty standard latex paint. The clear coat that we have would protect somewhat from UV and weather degradation. But in conversation about this, we actually came to the conclusion that as an object of the earth, this is something that should sort of degrade naturally with time. So we had some conversations with maintenance to make sure that wouldn't be a safety concern as paint starts to decay, and that it can sort of, I haven't found a better way to say this than like returning to the earth, but like this idea of like cycles and letting it decay in a safe way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool.
Other questions? Ken.
Any thought to putting it in some sort of an enclosure, plexiglass? I imagine that's the case. Could actually have a river theme underneath. It'd be more expensive, but it would seem to me it's an open invitation for vandalism, is my initial reaction, as beautiful as it is.
I agree. And that is a big concern for us. I think that in a philosophical regard, there's some resistance to using fencing or to enclosures like this. Both because the object itself is part of the natural world and the kind of ideas around that, but also the way that Native Americans have been portrayed in museums as artifacts of the past themselves. So there's that sort of like ideological alignment that we want to avoid. I'm glad you mentioned the river, though, because one part of the native plant garden that I mentioned is they're all plants that are colored blue and green and can be sculpted into river shape. And that's one of my favorite ideas that the community came up with.
Any other questions? I have, yes, Laura, go ahead.
I'm just curious, as far as accessing it, how, couldn't really tell from the photo, how tall, or well, how high off the ground will it be?
So it'll be angled so that the back end is higher and then sort of yawed. So it's at this horizontal angle too. The nose will be, I would approximate about 2 feet off the ground, and the tail will be about 5 or 6 feet off the ground. So, you know, our hope is that the angle of it will prevent, will not make it less inviting to climb on, in addition to those sort of separations. Because I think that, like, you know, I see high schoolers, I see teenagers. No, of course they're going to want to climb on this, right?
Well, that, yeah, that's what I was thinking. It screams, climb on me, sit in me, you know. So among the other the concerns the other two panelists had about the vandalism and, you know, wearing, I was thinking that as well. So, okay.
Yeah, one of the difficult parts to get around is that, as you may have seen, noticed in the picture, the exterior of the boat is all black, and all of the beautiful design work is on the interior. So we need to have it angled in a way that it's visible. That again, trying to think of all the deterrents to prevent unwanted
interest. Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Great. Any other thoughts?
I just want to acknowledge, Shane, that you are holding space for these projects for students and bringing them into the community, and just express gratitude for you taking your time to do this. I had the privilege of getting to be one of the people to carry the canoe up to the library. My husband and kids spent a summer helping to refinish it. And I know Miller Paint donated all the paint. And it's just very amazing to see a community project that goes through, you know, touches so many people, has been sitting in the library for students to see it and feel it. And I just really appreciate you carrying this project out over all this time. I think it means a lot. And I don't know if you said Grandma Aggie's name. I think you probably did, but also just wanting to bring Grandma Aggie into the space, because I know that that's where, how the canoe evolved into being with Dan Wapapa. So this just feels like a very important project to be presenting, and I just really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Cassie. I am so grateful to work with such a great community that's really committed to it as well.
Yeah.
Great. I do have a few questions. Have you, I imagine you've had extensive discussions with Dan Wapapa about his vision or his people's vision, and that you have followed that, those ideas. That's my first question. I agree, as a person who is an art historian, I know that many cultures have used wood, and wood will degrade quite rapidly or through time. So I hope that you will, in your statement, if there is a statement around this work, will explain that to people as they're coming to look at it and understand, you know, 50 years down the road, why it looks the way it looks. Also, I think it would behoove the high school / it's right by the district office to, you know, install a camera. Cameras are great deterrents as well. So I agree and wholeheartedly support all the thoughts, and I'm excited to see it when you come back. And any other thoughts or questions, any response from you? Shane.
Yep, certainly. It's so hard going back to Zoom over at the high school. We just switched back, and it's such a struggle this week. I definitely appreciate that recommendation to include the description of why it's degrading for future generations. In terms of the cameras, I think the bond construction is the perfect opportunity for us to add some visual there. And the third part that you said, Dan Wapapa's vision, Dan has been super involved, especially this year. And while he has a lot of other obligations in the community, he is being such a great liaison and advocate. So I'm excited that he's part of it.
Great. I think I saw one hand sneak up.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm excited to see this. We all are. And we appreciate you coming to give us a heads up. And we'll see you in a few months.
Thank you all so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye, Shane.
Thank you.
Terrific. Anything else in public forum? I believe that is it. Correct, Aaron?
Correct.
All right. So now we're going to move into liaison reports, and we will start with Councillor Jensen.
Thank you very much. So we welcomed our new city manager, Joe Lessard, who started work, I believe, on the 4th, 3rd or 4th of this month. And we are very, very fortunate and excited to have Joe on board. He has hit the ground running and has already made his mark with several innovative proposals. He's obviously spending the first few weeks and probably first few months familiarizing himself with his staff and the community. And that's all going in the right direction. Our thanks to Gary Milliman, who was our interim city manager, who came in and essentially poured oil on the water and calmed things down. And his years of wisdom and capacity and understanding of municipal governance served us well and saw us through a 5 or 6 month period, transition period. Probably one of the most important things he did was recruiting. He actually was very, very instrumental in recruiting Joe Lessard, and we are indeed fortunate. So we continue to struggle with this idea of money in the general fund. And I'm not going to glaze you guys over with getting down in the weeds on the general fund, but keep in mind, all the other funds in the city are reasonably in good shape. And that is water and electric and streets and wastewater and water and so on and so on. Are those funds, which are separate from the general fund, cannot be mixed together by state law. It's a general fund that we continue to struggle with. And general fund is the one that is funded mainly by property taxes. The general fund, once again, includes police, fire. We handily call it ComDev, but that's planning, building inspections, Aaron's department, and administration and parks. Those are the big dogs in the general fund. And that's what we continue to attempt to manage and fund as we move forward. Coming to you shortly, in the next several months, will be a citywide survey, a survey of which you have not seen the likes of for maybe the ever in this city. It's going to be administered by SOU. We've already contracted. It will be about as scientific a survey as one can possibly do in this city. We are going to reach, it isn't just going to be a postcard in the mail. There's going to be an enormous educational outreach and to get input from citizens. And the questions are not going to be generically unusable. Do you like parks, for instance? Do you want to have a fire department? The questions are going to be way more specific and mainly focusing on what level of funding are you willing to have an increase in funding in your property taxes to fund these certain things. And we're going to try to be as specific and as unbiased as we possibly can. And SOU is going to proctor these questions to make sure that they aren't loaded or slanted or biased, so on and so on and so on. So that's coming shortly. From that information, which we hope will be assembled sometime in June or July, from that information, the city council will identify, hopefully it's clear, sometimes these things aren't clear, a set of community priorities. And from that, the plan is to offer up in November a ballot measure, a operating levy ballot measure. Now, this isn't locked in stone. This is the general plan. Things change. Things could change. But the idea would be in November to offer up to the community of Ashland a general operating levy proposal to fund adequately the items that by law we have to fund, and secondarily, the will of the people, which we hope to get clarity from the from the survey. So that's coming to a mailbox near you or an email near you. And my hope would be that public art commissioners would embrace this and get and please tell your community and your surrounding constituents and friends and neighbors to please respond to it. Please, please, the more response we get, the more valid it is. And it's a real opportunity for people to give an unfiltered input into the city operations. So that's coming there. I want to talk a little bit about public art funding, because it has come under attack here and there, and various social media organizations. Or why are we funding public art? The public art funding, many of you already know this, but I just want to reiterate here. The public art funding comes from the transient occupancy tax. That is a fancy name for saying the hotel motel tax. A certain percentage of the hotel motel tax is restricted by state law to be spent only for tourism related, enhancing tourism related opportunities in this town. Public art has been legally identified as an entity that enhances tourism. So public art money comes directly from the restricted part of the transient occupancy tax. So the point I want to make here that is, if we do away with public art funding, it isn't like it goes back into the general fund and helps fund a firefighter. It doesn't go back into the general fund and helps clean up the pond at Lithia Park. Those things are conflated often in the public eye, and that is not the case. And I just want to make that clear to you. If by some the council pulls back the funding from public art, it goes back into the restricted fund of the transient occupancy tax, and it has a very narrow list of things to which that money could be spent. And so anyway, that's the case for funding of public art. Now, upon occasion, the council has come forward with more money than just our annual percentage to fund specific big projects, but that's a beast on its own. And in many cases, that does come from that restricted fund. The city manager has control over that, and in some cases the council does. So anyway, that's the public art funding piece that I think it's important for commissioners to fully understand. Many of you already understand that, but I just wanted to make sure. A couple more items here. We are in the process, we're very close to giving the green light to a new water treatment plant. There's a lot of community discussion about that. We've had a lot of pushback. We've had a lot of nasty pushback on accusing the council of being incompetent and bloated and unresponsive to the budgetary needs of the individual community members and so on and so on. The water treatment plant is funded primarily from the water fund, which is a healthy fund in this town. And we just received word that there is an incredibly low interest loan available to fund the rest of the water treatment plant. Our current water treatment plant is over, I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but it's over 40 years old. If you remember in the flood of 97, one of the more notorious, infamous pictures is water rushing down through our current water treatment plant about ceiling high, and workers up on a rock bluff overlooking the flooded, washed out water treatment plant from the flood. It's in a not a good location up in the canyon up there. It's earthquake prone, it's flood prone, it's fire prone, it's old. And so there you go. That's my case for the new water treatment plant. In our opinion, and the opinion of most city councilors, it would be irresponsible not to proceed forth with securing water for future generations for the city of Ashland. So that's my push. I want to talk about one more thing. There's been a kerfuffle over the last month or so, the Ashland School District and the City of Ashland. The Ashland School District has a big, as Mr. Abrams mentioned, a big bond project, a $109 million bond project. You've seen construction going on all over town. There are system development charges and planning fees and so on and so on that are charged for these projects, they are based upon a formula, a well-known formula, relative to cost of project, size of project, new hookups, pavement. There's a whole intricate formula for how these are calculated. The Ashland School District, I think, was taken back by how much that ended up being. There was some misinformation originally. There was some, I'm going to go ahead and say it, there was some lack of, shall we say, analysis, proper analysis on the part of the project planners and consultants. The long and short of it is, there was kind of a wake-up call here a month or so, or 2 months ago, where the Ashland School District was surprised at how high these charges were. Instead of using this misinformation, they came to City Council in one meeting with, with guns blazing, essentially in public, accusing the City of Ashland on getting fat over on the backs of children's education and sacrificing children's education. That was not the case. Wiser and calmer heads prevailed. There were some further discussions, and the school district came forth subsequent to that and admitted that there was some misinformation, that there was some lack of understanding, there was some poor planning, and that that we can work things out. We are in the process of working things out with the school district. Gary Milliman was very instrumental in bringing some folks together and bringing some folks together on a permanent basis to have ongoing discussions between school district leadership and the City of Ashland leadership to avoid these kinds of things in the future. So it's going to have a good outcome. And hopefully the stormy waters in the town can be calmed based upon this new information, and the city is going to back off and put a ceiling on some of the fees, which I fully support. So anyway, those waters have been calmed. Joel Lessard has also been very instrumental in that, and we're back on good ground, I believe, between Parks, Ashland School District, and the City of Ashland. So there's lots of other minor things that continue to come forth, but I think those are the big hitter items for now. Anyway, that's the latest from Lake City of Ashland.
Thank you, Councillor Jensen. Stanley.
A quick question. What percentage of the total hotel and occupancy tax is restricted?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. I can't tell you that. I should have that in front of me, and I don't. Aaron, do you have a feel for that?
Yeah. I do not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Stanley, I was afraid somebody was going to ask that. I don't have that information, but I'll tell you what. I will get it to you, and I will send it to Jennifer. And in fact, Aaron, what's the best way for that to handle that?
Yeah, if you get that information, you could send it to me and Jennifer, and we'll forward it to the group. That's fine. It'd be great if you could get that. You'll have an easier chance to solicit that information than I will.
Yeah. Okay. I will do that. I will do it. Thanks, Kenny. That's a great question. I cherish that kind of a question because city financing in general makes a lot of people glaze over. I really like the idea that the Public Arts Commission has a handle at least on the intricacies of that funding. It's very helpful when you talk to the community about that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. I have a couple just comments. I don't need your answers. One is about the survey and my concern about, I know it's about funding. This is going to be sent to people who own property. And so my concern would be, how can a whole city who is full of a wide number of people economically and socially situated in different positionalities get this form to fill out, this survey? So I'm just hoping that there's a really good way in which it's stretching across all boundaries.
I don't think if I could, I'm almost certain it's not going to be sent to just the property owners. Okay. It's going to, I think the utility mailing is going to be the operational list from which they work, and they absolutely want to reach out across across all populations, all Great. Communities.
Let's see. Oh, I just thought I would mention that all along this water treatment kerfuffle, I thought had to do with the water treatment plant down at the dog park. So I guess my message to you all is, if there was more of a, do you want clean drinking water? Do you want safe drinking water? A little louder? Because I didn't really think about the fact that this is different from that.
Well, it's an unfortunate linguistic tangle. There's the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment plant. I really wish they would change the name of the wastewater treatment plant. It's a little more indelicate, but it really should be called the sewer treatment plant. And, mm-hmm. and I think that would help people understand what that is. But there's a lot of W's in there. Waste and wastewater, water, and there's a lot of treatment in there, and it's on both ends, so to speak. But you're exactly right. People do need to really understand the clean water part of it. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. If there's nothing else, we'll continue on. Are you ready? I have Jim Lewis here, but I don't believe Jim Lewis is in with us today. So we'll move into other business. And the first thing to talk about is Golden Connections by Jennifer Correo and Dave Frey. And Aaron and I have a lot to report. It's very exciting. Can I share screen, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I want to show you are some pictures. So here is, let me get it a little smaller. Can you all see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming along, as you can see. We have seen a few batches of the project. Here's a lovely one for you all. And they're experimenting with lighting. They're working on that top piece that you'll see in the next few pictures. Here they are working on it. So it's coming along is my point. And these pictures are actually in your agenda if you maybe peeked at them before today. And there's Dave working diligently. So long story short, things are happening. And we're really delighted by that. She and Dave have approached us, and I'm going to stop sharing for a minute, have approached us to ask for a release of their next payment, of which Aaron just told me that that check is being drawn and created right now to send to them. The Jennifer has expressed that, of course, yes, getting product has taken longer. Getting product has been more expensive. So I think one thing she did want to ask us, and she did it very humbly, and I'm presenting this to you as a message deliverer because I think that's the role of the chair. She expressed humbly if there was any way to receive a little extra funding for the amount of money that they've spent. Now, I can share with you, and Aaron, if you think it's okay, I can share that exact document. Yeah?
Yeah, and I've already totaled up those numbers if you want. I wasn't sure. We didn't really talk about how we were going to present this.
Yeah, I have it too. And okay. Maybe you might have a different kind of total than me, but let me just show it to everyone.
Sure.
Can you see? I kind of just put it here. So the budgeted numbers are the numbers you see here. And then the actual expense with the difference. And I essentially added up the engineering, the stainless steel, the base plate, the ring, and the tracks, showing a difference of $2,518. She has powder coat and concrete foundation kind of in flux right now, so I didn't really add that. Aaron, do you have a different sort of...
You did took a very similar approach to me. No, so I have nothing to add, really.
So I guess what I'm doing, because this is new for me, to have an artist requesting more money, and I certainly am not saying yes or no to this. I think this is a discussion for us all to have, if we wish to proceed, if we're actually allowed to proceed. And I wanted to ask Erin, if, say, someone made a motion to give her more money, do we have to go then to the council and get permission? Or is this just something that's coming out of the coffers of our group?
So again, the public art fund is managed by council. We're an advisory commission. We make recommendations to council. It's their money to spend. And the way I sort of thought that this would go down, obviously the next item on the agenda is talking about the plaque, and that's going to cost some money and is going to be an ask to council as well. And so what I had sort of figured in my head was that if the PAC had decided, if the discussion happens and there's a motion to request additional allocation of funds in light of these cost overruns, we could pair that up when we go to council for the ask on the plaque. Here's the plaque, here's the cost overrun, and combine that together into a single ask. The other comment that I would add to that is I think it's good when you come to council to come with, if not a complete menu, at least a couple of options. Hey, we'd like this, but this would be okay too. It gives them a little more flexibility when they're considering your request.
Stanley. Can't hear you.
The total overage, what did that total up to? And are they asking for a specific amount yet?
Really, the overage, to my knowledge, is around $2,500. Of course, it will be more. She just humbly asked if we would consider, I think, any amount. She didn't push. She just gave us that document showing the differences because we actually asked for it. Because first question was, can we get paid more? And Erin and I are like, well, how much more would you want? So she provided then that little sheet showing differences in costs. So to me, that means that really she's just approaching it from us the perspective of things are different in our world, as Steve just mentioned, with building and construction and product. So if she can recoup, great. I think that even if that didn't happen on our end or it was disapproved by the council, we're still going to have the product delivered.
Yeah. I think that it's sort of a tough one because you would hope when they bid, when they put their proposal forward, they built in some cushion. It sounds like they didn't. And, that's a bit of a problem. But on the other hand, there were some unanticipated things, inflation, supply chain stuff, that they probably couldn't have anticipated when they put their bid in. So I don't know. It's going to be it's a little bit of a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy to talk about it and let you mull it over. Yes, Steve.
So that money would come from the public art account. Is that correct?
Correct.
Erin, is there an amount that triggers council approval? It would seem to me that that's actually a small amount of money relative to the kinds of money that the council generally deals with. And I'm just wondering if the city manager has some purview over those small amounts. Can you speak to that?
Sure. So I, after the last meeting, spoke with the staff advisor of community development to discuss the $2,000 to $3,000 projected amount for the plaque and what that process would be. And I was told that we would need to bring that to council. Obviously, Joe is on board now, and that is a new situation. With your input, I can go back to the staff advisor my next opportunity to see if he could take that ask at a department head meeting to the city manager to see if going to council is necessary. And it's interesting because take something like the installation of Velocity, okay? The ask to council was for the money for the art. And then my understanding is that when that art was being installed, Adam Hanks in his capacity as the guy who is handling those TOT funds jostled the other restricted funds to facilitate the installation. And that clearly didn't go to council for an ask. That said, we are in a new administration now. And so I guess I need to have that conversation with Bill and have that conversation, you know, push over to the city manager. Obviously, he has a lot on his plate right now, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get feedback prior to the next meeting, but I will certainly bring that to my manager to discuss further.
Thank you. It sounds like a plan. Thank you very much.
Are there any other people who wish to voice their concern, their comment, their support? Yes, Ken.
I'm wondering if it wouldn't be helpful at this juncture to talk about the plaque and its costs so we have a ballpark estimate for what we are really talking about.
That is a great segue. So that is next on the list anyway. So we have Destiny, Joel, and Ken who are presenting to us their ideas for the plaque. So why don't I go ahead and let one of you take that up. Aaron?
I'm sorry, just a quick question. Are we tabling further discussion of the additional funds for now, or just in terms of notes?
Let's, as Ken suggests, let's table it until after this discussion.
Perfect.
And maybe there will be a motion for both, a certain amount for both.
Perfect.
Is there a way that I can share my screen? Aaron?
Yes. All panelists should be able to do that right now.
All right. So I cannot take credit for this presentation. Joel actually put this together, but he is a little bit under the weather. So I'm going to speak on his behalf. And Ken, please feel free to jump in as well. Can everyone see the Golden Connection signage?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So jumping into this. Here's just before we dive into what we're wanting to propose today. Here's just some pictures that Joel took of the actual site and where the piece would be installed at. So you have this as a frame of reference. So talking about the plaque now, there are two different proposed sign types that we wanted to present to you. So you can see in this rendering, there's the option one, which is the above ground, and option two, which is in ground. There is actually, I don't know if it's in this picture. You can't see it in this picture. It might be in another one. There is another sign that's nearby this site that is an above ground signage that Joel saw when he was there. So I know that there had been a concern expressed about the city approving for above ground signs, but there is actually already one that is present. So may not be as challenging as what we were potentially thinking, or maybe something has changed in that regard. But here you get just an idea of what it would look like. So that is on the table to discuss after we're done presenting here. Joel took this. So here in this picture, you can see it. This is the above ground sign. So placing either the above ground or the in-ground plaque in this location would have to probably shift that trash can. That's why there's a big X through it, just so that is not taking away from the plaque as well as the actual art piece. And this is just another example of what it would look like, the difference between the in-ground one and the above ground. And then the last piece that we were asked to share with you is the actual sign layout and then the verbiage that we were proposing for the sign. So I'll let everyone take a moment to read through this. We did think it would be nice to have a map on the sign that outlines Ashland, as well as then maybe some of the additional pieces that would be going in, just as a reference point so that people can make the connection that there are going to be other artworks that are connected to this one. So yeah, I'll give everyone just a minute to read through. And Ken and Joel, feel free to jump in if I missed anything that feels important.
Yeah, I should have sent this out so everyone could read it easier than on this slide, but which I can do that. I'll send it to Jennifer.
First thing I would just say is there's an inconsistency with the title. Is it called Golden Connection or The Golden Connections? So let's make sure we get that right. I think it is called Golden Connections.
That's what I thought, yeah.
so that would be an edit.
Yeah. Oh, there's going to be lots of edits. We just wanted to present this to you guys to be able to look over, to have a kind of a reference point to move from, because we met up and discussed some things and we didn't quite have all the answers. And then this map is something I pulled off of the city website and then blocked some things out. So we need a way better map. There's a lot of things that need to be improved. But we wanted to get this moving forward so that Aaron had something for that meeting, I believe, on the 28th.
That I won't be presenting. One of you will be,
or we, whoever. Yeah, just as long as we have something for the meeting on the 28th.
A note that I would provide, if I may, Jennifer. David's name will need to be included as well, and we should ask Jennifer and David if they want Cobalt Designs used as well, which is their business name. So I can make a point of reaching out with her in terms of how that should be treated.
Sounds good. Yeah, so so I think it's great. I think that it's just a little bit of editing here, adding Dave's name, making perhaps taking a little more time to read this and make sure that the verbiage is correct. So if you guys could send this out to all of us, then maybe we can have a general consensus. And also, I think I would want to send it to Jennifer and David and just get their general consensus. And kind of from the city's perspective, I'll get yours, Aaron, and Stephen as well. So let's have a general consensus on what's discussed. As far as the map goes, let's consider that. And
also for the map, I'm not sure where the medallions go. So I need to find a map of where that is and put that on there. So, I mean, that was the idea of the map. That you can see this and then go to the other locations.
Yes. And so I think that we will hone this. This is the first time we've all seen it. So I think I like the layout. I like the general idea. I think it's really a matter of just editing, getting the right map picture. Other comments or thoughts? Ken.
Well, I was just going to ask what's the process here? If we all get a chance to do wordsmithing, who's going to be the wordsmith expert to finalize the proposal? How would that work?
Well, I'm happy to collect the corrections and then make the corrections and send it out again to everyone for a final read, if that's the way we want to do it. At this point, let's see. It's true. Actually, there's an APRC presentation set for February 9th, which is pretty soon. I don't know if that is, I don't know if Aaron, we want to push that back. Or we present it saying, this is the verbiage, but not quite the verbiage.
I think it would be advantageous to take the opportunity to present. That'll give us at least, you know, as was mentioned, staff at APRC has expressed concern the above ground. I think what you've put together already is sufficient to come to them and say, this is a first look at it. And knowing that we may need to go back to them again with a final verbiage.
Okay. So I think at this point, what I would love to have is the verbiage for us, for everyone here to say yay or nay, here's my corrections. I want to talk with Jennifer about it and make sure that everything that's important to Jennifer and Dave gets included. And then of course we need to get that done quickly so that it can go to the APRC by February 9th. Also, can we look at that one more time? I do have a question before we continue on. So Destiny, if you could reshare it. Can you go back to the locations? So the location suggested is looking not at the mountain, but looking actually at the sculpture. And I just want to make sure that everyone likes that. I mean, we as a commission should say, yay, that's great. I mean, I
provided all those images just so that we could have a discussion about where it would go. I just picked a spot that was, I don't know, seemed to make some sense.
Does anyone have opinions? I mean, when I think about it now, I think I would have naturally had it on the opposite side. But now that I see it on this side, it's not distracting from the fence, which is another whole other art installation that's quite delightful. But it helps me to turn from that fence and look at this work and concentrate on it. Though, it's also not focusing on the railroad. So, you know, like all these little conceptual things come in my mind. Does anyone else have an opinion on where the sign should be? Not how the sign, what height it should be, but just where?
Yeah.
Stanley.
Yeah, I like the location. I'm just thinking that the in-ground representation looked to be somewhat of a tripping hazard. It was very close to the sidewalk, you know. So it's just a consideration.
Cassie, did you have a comment?
I was just going to agree, Jennifer, what you said is what I was thinking as well, that my inclination naturally was to be facing the railroad. But I'm adjusting. I'm still not sure. I still have the inclination to want to be facing Grizzly Peak and the railroad. But I'm not attached.
I was thinking, that because we've always seen the sculpture oriented towards Grizzly and seen that view of it, my perception was that the signage would be on the other side. However, this is interesting because maybe the foot traffic is on the bike path there, more, you know, easily seen right here. But yeah. I do like the in-ground. I know you said maybe we're not commenting on this quite yet, but I want to point out that further down, there is the plaque on the rock. I don't know if anybody has seen that. And I think this matches better in terms of how it looks in comparison to what's already in the park, all the signage that may exist. With reference to the railroad, a bit further down, away from the park, towards the tracks there. Anyway, it's interesting.
Yeah. Thanks. So, you know, I think it's in our purview to decide where the sign would go, not the artist's, but I don't know if I also should check with Jennifer and Dave. Or do we just decide this? That's I'm kind of thinking in my mind. So I guess what I need from all of you is sort of a general consensus on where you want it now so that I can move that forward in discussion.
I'd like to make a comment just briefly. The text as it evolves would draw attention to the characters and the wording on the back of the spike. And in my head, there's a connection between those two, just with regard to where it's oriented. And my recollection is that would put it on the backside.
Okay. And so... trying to make sure I understand that. So the way the spike is situated, the Chinese characters will be on the side in which Joel has suggested the plaque to go, correct?
I don't know that.
That's how I see it.
It's both English and the characters, of course.
Right.
I'll tell you, there was two reasons why I thought, I mean, being on site, why I thought it might go well there is because the other above ground sign that's for, I believe, Parks and Rec is like I mean, 8 feet away from where the sculpture's going to go. So a sign on the front, it looked very, it looked like a sign park. It's very noticeable. I should have sent another photo out. I took a photo of like my hand in front of that sign. Yeah, exactly. It is right. It's right there. It's right on the other side of that bush on the left from the furthest left photo. And then the other reason was, is because when I was down there just for 10 minutes, there were probably 15, 20 joggers and walkers that went by on the fence side of the sculpture. So I think our traffic is definitely going to be over there for people to read it if so inclined. So those are the two reasons why. And it just seems to fit on that flat side of the sidewalk right there a little better than on the curves mm-hmm. as well. So anyway, those were kind of the three reasons why, while I was on site, that it seemed to go well there.
I think those are all really valid. And I am willing to change my vision in my head. So I am going to say in this meeting that I'm comfortable with it being located where suggested. And I want to hear from all of you. So if anyone's opposed to that strongly, that's probably who should speak right now. The other thing I just want to add, of course, we can mention it at the speaking engagement with APRC, but they pretty adamantly said in their verbiage to Aaron, we're not having a plaque that stands upright on a stand. So I think this plaque is going to go on the ground. So I just want you to be aware of that. And unless, Aaron, you got a sense of...
They made it pretty clear.
So
that was so interesting because there's signs all over there that are upright right next to where our site's going to be.
Right. That just might be different time of APRC, a different culture of APRC. Certainly whoever is in charge right now kind of said no. So just want you to know, we'll present this and we'll see what goes from there. I think either will be great. And I recognize tripping hazards. So certainly, obviously, everything in that circle is being removed and reconfigured. Perhaps some lovely stones can be sort of around it to keep it from being upon, as Stanley suggested. Any other concerns or thoughts?
Can I interject?
How about Laura? Laura, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out Andy's little chat here. He wanted to mention, he says, I don't know if you guys all see the chat. Great that the plaque verbiage references the changes the railroad made. This was the main purpose. The honoring of the Chinese workers was the Corio's idea. So he wanted to acknowledge that.
Great.
That's all.
Thank
you. Should we move to the cost consideration?
Yes. Well, it sounds to me like we're all in general consensus. Great. Cost. Go for it. Let's hear it. And maybe do we have to share, is that in the PowerPoint or can we go back to seeing our faces?
No, we have no idea what the cost is yet. So I'm not sure what the cost, I'm not sure why that, how that was going to get tacked on to the last consideration. We wanted to run this by everybody we don't know if it's going to be an above ground or an in ground. So sending out to get quotes currently without that known would be a waste of the fabricator's time and everybody's time. So we wanted to find out what the actual course ahead was going to be before getting fabricators involved to quote this out. So as far as tacking that onto that $2,500 that the artist requested, we don't know what the budget for this is yet. So I can give a ballpark estimate, but it's going to be very loose.
And I believe at the last meeting, you'd said $2,000 to $3,000 is what I captured. Is that correct?
Probably stands. Yeah. I think in-ground would be a little bit more based on the concrete considerations than above ground, for sure.
All right. So how do we proceed then? Do we need to get these quotes before we go to APRC?
No, APRC is not going to care what it costs. Okay. So I think moving forward with presenting to them at the 9th, that's going to very likely result in yes, above or below, and then we can move forward with getting quotes.
Okay.
I would like to discuss who's planning on doing that presentation.
Let me look at my calendar. I imagine it's going to be me. unless someone would really love to do it, which I would love. What date are we looking at here?
February the 9th at 6 p.m.
This is APRC. I can do that. Interesting. So the Historic Commission and the Parks Commission meet on the same night, huh? Okay. So I'll do it.
Thank you.
So I guess the plan, well, here we are. This is the plan. We're going to APRC on the 9th. We're going to present this. They're going to say yay or nay. We'll then ask for someone here to research a quote. That would be great. So this is kind of meaning that we can't really go forward to the council with a request for funding until we know this, right?
And well, and the other thing is, based on the feedback I just got from Councillor Jensen, I'll be asking Bill to bring that to the city manager if below a certain threshold we don't need to go to council. So I'll be following up on that as well.
Okay. So I guess that's where we are. So I guess, you know, kind of rounding back up to the question of extra funding, mm-hmm. We're going to table that, right? I guess. Or can we move it up as a separate entity? Yes, Aaron.
I think it would be helpful if we could at least understand a consensus from the commission if there is an interest in allocating or requesting some additional funding without actually having a number. That would give us an understanding of whether we needed to move that conversation forward or not.
I think that considering adding additional funding is appropriate. That's my feeling about it.
I certainly agree. And I also think that it won't be a surprise to anyone that construction costs and inflation and all of those factors are at work and play. So this was probably quoted when 8 months ago, 6 months ago, some period of time before. So let's set the bit that they are going to be, we're going to be working towards a price increase.
Well, I guess my only question would be, what would that money potentially come from? Meaning, like, would it pull from our ability to fund something else positive in the future? I think that would be my only concern. I'm totally for it, but I'm curious about us running into a lack of funding for something else.
It would be coming from the public art fund. So yes, it would have impact on future spending, but there's a pretty significant balance in there right now. And, you know, a $5,000 or $6,000 drawdown is not going to be terribly significant when you consider what we have going on right now.
Right. So I think that we have some final medallion payments, or maybe that's already happened. Maybe we have like 40,000+. And if we take say $3,000 for this, to give to Jennifer and $3,000 to pay for the plaque, you know, so $6,000. So it's going to take us down to a low 40-ish. It certainly does impact our balance, and our balance isn't high. This also will set precedent for future requests of this nature. Of course, our body always can consider these things, but other people. I hear a consensus of, I hear from some people this is a possibility. Any other people who maybe are concerned? I just want to get a feeling from all of you that haven't spoken.
Maybe we should do a little straw poll.
Or perhaps in the form of a motion.
Would someone like to make a motion?
Well, I move to consider requesting more funds to allocate towards the Golden Connection as well as the other project.
Nice. All right. So let me make sure I understand the move to allocate more funds to Golden Connection as well as to paying for
the
plaque.
The plaque.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I have one question. We don't really have a hard number yet from the artist on how much that additional fund is going to be, right? So it's kind of hard to, I mean, I think if we cap it right now and say, we'll give you X amount of dollars more, because there was a question mark at the bottom of that request still with an unknown number. So I think if we either split the difference or basically say, here's $2,000 more and like not really, I don't know. Cause as Stanley mentioned, it's like things have changed, but it is, I've worked on those budgets before as on the artist side, and you do have to create kind of a slush gap when you're creating those because of all kinds of changes and considerations and all that. So I'd say if we cap it out at like 2000 and say, and then motion forward to be like, we'll give $2,000 more, and then that's kind of it.
And it sounds like we can't, sorry, Ken, that we can't make any promises. This is still a discussion. This is making a motion to continue the discussion. So from what I'm understanding, this is not a motion to allocate any specific number. But I hear you, Joel, you'd like to say, you know, we'll consider up to this amount, but I don't think this is a real active, there's nothing we can do in this moment.
That was essential.
I was suggesting that we could move forward if we just right now said like, regardless of what the artist comes back with in terms of their number, we could just say right now, like, it looks like from the numbers on that sheet, it's going to be around $2,500, and then it could go up or down depending on that last question mark. So if we just said 2,000 right now between us, we could move this forward and not have as many things to wait on. But that's just a suggestion.
Well, I think what we're voting on right now is the concept of this more than the actual amount.
Okay.
In any case, the council needs to approve whatever it is. So, you know.
Right.
Aaron.
Yeah, I sorry if I was out of line for suggesting a motion. I was really trying to, just for the sake of the minutes, to get us on record that there either was general agreement to consider the notion or not. So sorry if that was out of line, Jennifer.
Oh, no. Actually, I kind of agree with Joel. I wouldn't mind there being maybe just a set amount. And then we, of course, are waiting for this plaque, which who knows how much that will be. So I'm kind of thinking if anyone wishes to amend and add a price or a cap, like we are willing to move forward $22,000. That's fine. If we don't want to have an amount, but as Joel says, then what if it, I don't know, there's this awkwardness of not having a price there. If anyone wishes to amend, we could amend with a cap of this much or with a suggestive amount of this much, or we can just say we're generally agreeing and we will come up with a fund price later.
I think we just need to generally agree. I don't, if we kind of take a stab, a best guess, then what if it's, although maybe we don't want to approve anymore, but what if it is, you know, it is closer to 6,000 and we haven't approved that.
Right.
Or agreed upon that. And then what happens?
So I'm sorry, from a parliamentary standpoint, has an amendment been offered? Because it would need a second.
There's not an amendment.
No.
We're still in the first motion, which is essentially to agree to fund extra money to the project and also to fund a plaque. We don't have amounts. If all of a sudden they come to us with a $6,000 wish, that is high. So I hear what Joel is saying. If no one wishes to amend the general, that's fine. Just I am offering it as a suggestion.
So did we have a second on that yet?
Well, we don't have an amendment, actually. We have a second on the motion for a general fund. We do not have an amendment to it. I will hold for a minute to see if there is one.
I call for the question.
Right. Anyone who are all people who are approving of the general statement, of which Aaron has, which I believe is general approval to fund some amount extra to Moreo and Frey for their sculpture, plus funding for a plaque. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstaining? It passes. Okay. All right. So are we good? So I guess that we can at least let Jennifer know there is an amount that hasn't been decided. And that, of course, it has to be approved by council, and we haven't even really been able to grapple with that amount. So we'll...
Yeah, I would suggest that maybe we don't talk to Jennifer until I get some input on whether this ask is going to need to go to council or not. I appreciate the fact that the commission took a vote on it, though, for the notes.
Great. Actually, I we don't even probably need to tell Jennifer. I think that it'll come with time.
Yep.
May I have a question?
Yes.
Quickly, so moving forward, is then the process, Jewel and or Destiny will find out what the cost would be for the in-ground plaque, and then let us know so we can figure that in?
So I will go on February 9th to get approval. After that, I will ask them to get a quote, correct?
Okay.
And then in our next meeting, we'll have a quote for that and can better have a grasp of how much money to ask in the future.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right.
Well, one last thing about that is it sounds like I was considering doing the welding for it, but it sounds like that would have to be on a volunteer basis, which is whatever. I mean, neither here nor there. But a lot of the work would have to be done by the city side, correct? The city maintenance or city parks and rec. Is that correct, Aaron?
Well, I mean,
the concrete pouring and that kind of stuff, or would that be subcontracted out to someone else in terms of budget?
Well, I would hope that we would figure out a way to tie that in with the concrete work for the installation of the sculpture. And obviously, whether it's above ground or below is going to depend on the footing. I imagine if it's an in-ground style, it's not going to need much of a footing because it's going to be on a headstone type thing. But
it will need formwork, though.
Okay.
Which is way more.
So then we'll want to figure out how to work that in. We may want to discuss that offline.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think they would give the best budget in terms of how much that work would cost. And I'm not sure who's doing that work. So So we can talk later, though. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great. So yeah, some logistics. With that said, there's two things I want to mention. In the early part of January, I met with the Historic Commission. I presented these images, these lovely images of the project at hand. I presented the medallions to them. And for those who are perhaps new to their commission, explained the relationship between history and PAC. So I gave them that information, and I planted the seed about beginning the dialogue for phase two. By the way, the staff liaison is Brandon Goldman, if anyone is interested, the Historic Commission. And the chair of the commission right now is Beverly Hovenkamp. So Beverly, they all seemed generally pleased and are excited about Golden Connections. And of course, I said, as we get close, I will invite them to celebrate and be a part of the event and so forth. I planted the seed about future, and Beverly Hovenkamp said she would get back to me about their future interest in phase two. So that is where we are as far as Historic Commission. I'm looking at my time. It's 9:49, and there's so many other things to talk about. This is going fast, you know. Jennifer's sculpture is coming along. She anticipates possible March, although I think that might be pushing it. But I think we can look at seeing the sculpture here April, May, June, And so we have a lot of things to think about. We do have to get the decision on this plaque and get this plaque going so it can indeed be installed when everything else is installed. And then the other thing to think about is what else? What else needs to be planned? And that is an event that is making sure that we're really honoring this and opening it in a proper way. So I'm planting that seed. We have other things to talk about, but I wanted you to think about that. So we're in the big now what portion of this beautiful celebration. Do you have updates about the medallions, Aaron?
Well, not an update that anyone's going to be really happy with. They have arrived. It's a big pallet that weighs about 450 pounds. Simply opening it to take a look at these medallions would take significant resources. I floated the idea of hosting an idea at the warehouse. I was told that it was not a facility that was suitable for a public meeting. And so we're kind of in a standby pattern. I've touched base with Public Works about lining up the concrete installation, and that started the first question of what's the budget. And whatever the budget was for the installation of the concrete work was one of those things that was in Adam Hanks's head of other restricted funds, etc. We have a new city manager now who has a lot on his plate. I don't have a lot of accessibility to him except through my department head. So I would just beg your patience for the moment. Know that this isn't off my plate, but this requires high level coordination with departments that I am not closely connected to. So that's about the update I have for you. And I'm sorry that there's not more on that.
Oh, that's interesting. Stanley.
You said that the pallet arrived, but it hasn't been broken down. The individual pieces have not been unpacked.
Correct.
Shouldn't they be unpacked to inspect them? I mean, there's a certain amount of time where you if you accept the delivery and you don't complain, if a complaint is in order, it needs to be done in a timely fashion. It seems to me those things need to be unpacked.
I hear you. I'll bring that up again. The general thought was that they're giant pieces of bronze. I hear your input, and I will discuss it with the staff advisor.
And Aaron, I have a hard hat. So I'm happy to
go. So do I. I have a hard hat.
Yeah, but I'm also respecting the fact that we can't all be there at once. So I would be happy to go look at these with you, Aaron, just to make sure they're all right. And I do want to, I am going to push, as Stanley's saying, that we do it sooner rather than later. We all can't look at it together. I understand they don't want us all in the warehouse and for safety reasons. So I'll wear my hard hat. And
I'll get an email off to the staff advisor later today about that topic.
Great.
Jennifer, wouldn't it be appropriate to have Andy or Dale there with you?
No, absolutely.
Well, I would love, I've invited Andy. At least if Andy could be there, that'd be great. And he has a hard hat too, I'm seeing in the chat. So I think I am going to put that back on Aaron. If they're like, no, we don't want three people, but hopefully three of us can be an okay amount to come and at least take a look at them.
Damage is the number one question.
Yeah.
I was told that there was no evidence of any physical damage to the pallet. I mean, this is a pallet that is going to take hammers and drills to open up. It was not going to be an easy enterprise just to pop it open and take a look. But I will run this concern back up the flagpole.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the medallions are going to different locations. So eventually it needs to be, that pallet needs to be opened up in the warehouse probably. So why not do it now?
Right. I imagine what Aaron's saying is it takes bodies and time with tools. And so we'll hope that that can happen soon. Just keep us posted. I trust that you'll do it, Aaron.
Yeah, I'll copy you, Jennifer, on the email I send to Bill.
Great. Any other questions or comments? So much going on.
So as a part of that email exchange, would it make sense to ask them for their plan to do the installation It isn't that we need that answer now, but it needs to be thought through by them so we can look at it or know about it.
Yeah, I'm following up on it on a routine basis. This is not the highest priority for Public Works. So, you know, we're just going to need to be a little bit of patience. And believe me that I am following up on this on a routine basis.
I appreciate that. No, my question is to get it on their agenda, regardless of where it is. We don't want the plaques installed in September.
Well, I think we have to adhere to the rule, to the city's whim at this. And we can keep pushing and Aaron keep asking. Of course, we want this done as soon as possible. Number one.
I would just remind the commission that we issued the PO for these medallions in November of 19. So it's been a process, but I will continue to work this from the staff side.
Perfect.
Thank you, Aaron.
I think
the number one thing for us to do is to see it. And then the number two thing would be to help and help Aaron, to help the city to work out the rest of it, as in install. I totally appreciate everything Aaron does. And I know that this is hard, especially in Zoom land and in houses. Any other thoughts before we move on?
Can we recommend a pay increase for Aaron?
All right. We're going to move into other things, goals and action items. These are based on a lot of really interesting work that's happening based on our new strategic plan ideas. So the first one I have here is partnership with community arts organizations. And what I have here in my notes is that there is a questionnaire that Stanley and Ken had created. And I think that I wanted to see the questionnaire, which I do have in Word form to share with you all. I know that you had also made it into a form, like a Google form kind of survey, but I haven't seen that yet. Would you guys like to talk about it more, or shall we push this to other ideas that we have in letters B and C?
Didn't we share that link with everybody?
I didn't receive the link.
Okay. I will do that.
Great. So maybe let's wait and see your link. I would love to get the link and look at it, and then we can go from there. There's other things to discuss right now if you wish to kind of wait until we see that link.
That's fine.
Okay. So there's two things here. Community engagement, first Friday discussion, which we had last time, which I have not had any time to think about, but I do wish to address it, that we had considered presenting three works in the month of May at a first Friday, and that Cassie and I were going to kind of get that going. So I guess you and I, Cassie, need to work together, and I'm pretty booked. So we'll keep trying.
Yeah.
Probably we need to do it now because it's getting faster. So unless you have something to report, maybe you've been working on it.
No, I'm in a similar place, Jennifer, of just being unexpectedly family things going on that have been pretty all consuming. But it does tie into, for me, into the internship thing that's coming later and about spreading the word in the community, because that seems like a big part of it is how we're going to let people know that this is happening.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So another thing to discuss, and I'm actually going to share my screen first. So just a minute. My brain is having a moment here. I think that I want to share this screen. My, I have so much stuff here. No. Just a sec. I'm having a hard time. Here it is. I'm in the box file. Do you guys see the box file? Just a minute. I'm kind of messy. So I have box open. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the last meeting, we were talking about internships. And at that point, I do remember that, or I want to have you recall that Ken had written some nice little nuggets for us related to sort of crafting a description for a student and also crafting a description for an internship. So the first thing I will look at here is I'm opening up the internship thing here. These are some notes I had taken from last meeting about maybe perhaps what the job or what an intern would be seeming to us. Here is Ken's draft and his ideas. I then went further and kind of wrote this out, which is sort of an announcement. The Public Arts Commission is searching for an intern to serve a one-year term from, say, and this is just me guessing, May 2022 through April 2023, with the possibility for renewal. The intern will work on assigned tasks and projects under the direction of the chair of the PAC as well as other commission members. Some duties include data collection and management, survey analysis, and content creation for a monthly newsletter. Candidates should have a background in the arts with some additional experience in business and administration. So this is sort of an application I created if we wish to send this out. I'm just putting it here. I asked for your comments. Seems like maybe it's okay. But in the meantime, Cassie has also done some research about internships through SOU and perhaps her being the intern. So I'm going to stop my share really quick and let Cassie talk. And I guess I should probably preface this with, can a commissioner be our intern? I guess we should start there with Erin. Is this a conflict? Would it be okay? She's not getting paid by us. She's paying actually university to get credit for her experience of her doing extra work as an intern.
So just to be clear, she's getting SOU credits to serve as an intern with PAC, but there's no financial consideration?
Right. Yeah, we wouldn't be paying the intern.
I don't see any reason why she could not be marrying together an SOU internship as a commissioner. That does not seem to be problematic to me. I saw funding in that description. That made me a little anxious. No, as far as her serving an active internship with SOU and her serving as a commissioner satisfying that internship, that does not sound problematic to me.
Okay, great. Yeah, I don't think funding was an option. That was a suggestion early on. So with sort of that idea, Cassie, why don't you share what you shared with me and we can get an idea of how the the PAC feels.
Okay. So I did talk to my advisor first. Before I get into that, I did send Jennifer an email that also just sort of let her know where my experience was in this area, because it seems like something we might want to have an applicant actually tell us what their experience is, why they're qualified, and how they're capable of this position. So you all probably know, but I've had my own business, two businesses for the last 15 years, and I actively use MailChimp as my email list. I'm, you know, savvy with WordPress. I communicate with the public through multiple different organizations that I volunteer or work for. And so I feel like that part of it I'm already pretty well acquainted with, and taking survey information that Stanley and Ken are going to be collecting and creating a database of an email list, and then getting a newsletter set up that you all could look over and make sure that everything looks good, but essentially taking the highlights of our meetings and putting them into a monthly newsletter that would then go out to whoever we collect for our email list. That's what how I see it happening. And the process I see would maybe be, I proposed to Jennifer, like 4 to 6 hours a month. So it could be a one sitting, or once a week, I do an hour and a half. And in the beginning, it would be collecting that data from the survey for the first month, probably creating that database, getting the MailChimp, you know, all set up the second month. And then maybe the third month being the month that we could get the emails going out, because I need to time management in my own life as well. So once that's set up, it seems like it's going to be a pretty well-oiled machine each month of sending out a newsletter. So that's how I was imagining the structure of the internship working, the nuts and bolts. And I'm not attached if you all would rather put it out to someone else. So I'm sort of proposing this to you, and I'm telling you, don't worry about my feelings. I'm fine if we want to look for someone else. On my end through SOU, what it looks like is I actually wouldn't sign up for an internship. I would do all the work while I'm in school and then submit my hours as previous learning because of the way it works with finances and the way that it works as I've learned from my advisor. So I would just manage that on my own, keeping track of my own hours and time. And it wouldn't be anything that you all would need to necessarily worry about unless you wanted to for some reason. So that's kind of the general how I imagine it. And I'm totally open to hearing what you all think or if you have questions about that or if it's something people want to consider outside of this meeting and return to, I'm fine with that as well.
Any comments, questions, thoughts?
Is this position going to be posted somewhere on campus?
Well, it can.
I'm just wondering if there'd be a little bit of a conflict of interest if we have this job that we're going to post and but we just automatically chose somebody who's already a commissioner. It seems like just in the interest of transparency, it might be something that we do need to just open up to any student on campus.
I think that.
Go ahead, Ken.
No, just same idea. I think the optics are very important here. That it needs to be pretty transparent. I mean, Cassie clearly has what we're looking for, in my view, and so that would be one consideration. But mm-hmm. if we do this in house, it doesn't. You know, if I was outside, especially if I had an interest in it, I would be concerned.
Aaron,
you know, I'm sort of not sharing your guys' concern because. Any student from SOU could have approached us and said, hey, I'm trying to get an internship for this class. Can I work for you? And it feels very much in that manner. However, if the commission wanted to post something publicly, I can certainly get that facilitated both through the city's social media and the news item and see if we get any interested parties if you guys would like to do that.
Yeah, I think that the scenario that you just mentioned, Aaron, that's not the way it happened. We had this idea and you're right. If somebody came to us and said, hey, I want to do this. We could say, yeah, let's do it. But the fact that we're creating this position, I'm just worried about the optics and you know, making sure that we're inclusive, so.
Other thoughts or comments? Those are all good comments. I agree and understand what Aaron's saying. I totally understand what Ken and Stanley are saying too. I wouldn't feel the need for this to be necessarily an SOU student. I also don't think I would pay that. We're not going to pay this person. So if they're a professional out in the arts world and want to do an internship, that's great. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be a funded position. So keep that in mind. So I have two commissioners who are suggesting perhaps that it needs to go to an open call. If we do go that route, I would suggest that I ask Aaron to publicize it through the city. I wouldn't publicize it per se at SOU. I would just do an open call. And I guess I should go back and reshare my screen for a minute. Just a minute. Oh, not here. Back to this. So what I'll need from you is any comments or corrections you wish to see, because this is essentially what I did write, an open call. And I did say individuals interested should submit a letter of interest to the chair. I also said, trying to read this really quick. Oh, some duties and the duties, but oh, that they should have a background in the arts and some additional experience in business. So this really can be anyone. It doesn't have to be a student. It can be just someone who perhaps wanting some arts administration.
Right.
So I guess there's two things here. If what I'm hearing correct, perhaps maybe a few of you could I guess we can have a motion or a straw poll about just basically how you feel about opening this up to everyone. And of course, Cassie can apply there. Anyone can apply there, and we can kind of revisit once that process happens. So that can be the route we take. And then only the only other thing I'd want is if you have any corrections to what that call should say in that box comment there. So any other thoughts?
Yeah, question would be, do we want to infer that it's the academic year that pushes it toward SAU? And I think
it's not the academic year. Exactly.
I get it.
I have actually inferred this to the commission's year. So commission here starts in May. That's from my understanding, Aaron, right? So new commissioners in a perfect world all start in May and end in April. So I kind of aligned it to sort of what is not the academic year, but the city's processes.
Perfect. I was thinking in Cassie's situation. Well said, Jennifer.
Well, yeah. And so if I was doing that, then it would be directed to students only. And I'm keeping this open to anyone. Unless you want it just to students.
Just for purpose of discussion, I'd move the adoption of the paragraph that Jennifer has proposed and ask Aaron to proceed with the city process.
A second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please raise your hands. So I can see it. Great. All right, passes. So let's put that out there, Aaron.
You'll send me a copy of that, please.
Sure. And
put a date on it, too, so we have action by a certain date.
It does. It says March 1st.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So any other questions about that? So we'll have that in the works. We'll see what comes in. I guess we should have a due date for that. So I would assume now that I'm looking at it, due March 1st. So I think in the March
meeting,
during the March meeting, we can discuss who has applied and go from there. Let's see. The other thing I want to share, so we're kind of moving along, and this is back to the screen here, and it's going back to box. Just a sec, I've got to get myself. It's hard to work in a laptop on so many screens.
Jennifer, I'm going to suggest while you're looking for that there be a subcommittee to screen potential applicants, rather than take the time, the whole commission, to go through everyone.
It sounds like a plan.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So the other suggestion was AHS student volunteer. So with that said, similar thing. I went in here last meeting and took some notes. And from those notes, I inserted Ken's ideas. And then from there, I kind of decided, well, maybe I need to just draft a letter. If we're truly interested in capturing a student from high school, I feel like I need to send this out to probably the principal and ask them to disseminate it to the faculty. I am still not quite sure, but this is what I wrote. The Ashland Public Arts Commission would like to invite one student from AHS to serve as a volunteer intern on the commission. The Ashland Public Arts Commission student position would be held for one academic year and would be appointed by the mayor upon the recommendation of the PAC chair. The Ashland Public Arts Commission student position would be a non-voting member of the PAC. However, they would be encouraged to participate in discussions and deliberations on PAC meetings. They may also be asked to assist in developing projects for the commission. This opportunity would provide an AHS student the real-world experience in city government and the arts. This experience could potentially count towards community service and/or a capstone project. The PAC asks that the AHS faculty, in consultation with the AHS principal, send a nomination to the Public Arts Commission chair by April of 2022. This student would serve in this position during the 2022-2023 academic year. The PAC meets on the third Friday of every month from 8:30 to 10:30. Please send your student's nomination to Jennifer Longshore by April 8th. I'm open for discussion. I will take us, I'll let you look at it a little longer there, and then I'll eventually stop share.
I wonder if we could narrow down the who gets it. It could go to the faculty and staff, but it ought to have a specific person.
Well, I would definitely send it to the principal.
There you go.
And I don't know, I don't know how they would disseminate it. Maybe they would send an all call or all to all faculty. I don't have that. There's no way I have that list.
No, right. I think the principal is the right person for discussion with the staff or something like that.
They also do have a AHS Facebook that they pretty actively use. So that might be another way that they could put that out to their students. And
okay. So I can send the letter and ask them to disseminate it on their social media, into their classroom, into their teachers.
Just for purposes.
I remember that I think it was Laura who said that students might not be able to attend because they're in school on Fridays. I do know, or at least it used to be, that there was a late start on Fridays, and I'm not sure if that's still happening. I didn't particularly specify, but there are a lot of senior/junior, and that's who I'm imagining might do this, take out, and sometimes take that early Friday. So I hesitate to worry too much and just see what happens from making this call, trying to control it on our end.
For purposes of discussion, I was going to make a motion.
Laura.
Well, I would add that I would agree with you. We can't worry about that. And perhaps because of the timing and this, maybe they would be able to adjust their schedule and have an out. There's no late start Friday anymore. So, not that I know of, but it's because, you know, Zoom classes and then now we're back and everything is kind of crazy, but I don't think we need to worry about that because who knows? And leave it up to them to figure it out.
Sounds good. So I think there was perhaps a motion coming along. Whoever would like to do that, and then we can continue discussion.
I'd like to move that we pursue the idea of a student ex officio member of the commission and proceed with Jennifer's proposed letter.
Second.
Discussion? Any other comments?
Just relative to the concern Laura's raised, to me, it's in the same vein as an athletic or music performance, and they take time off for that. I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah. Students have lots of reasons to skip a class.
Right. Well, they also might consider it an internship and give them credit for that.
Exactly. Right.
That Friday afternoon absence. All right. Well, all those in favor for this to proceed? All right. Anyone opposed? Looks like it passes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sort of craft this this letter into a PDF and send it to the principal and see where it goes. Someone said to me, oh, you should send this to Shane or to that. But I feel like it needs to just go out to a general group for fairness and equity. And so I'm just going to send it to the principal and we'll see how efficient that principal is at getting it out. A test. So I think, let me look just a sec back at my notes. I think that might be all that I actually have. Whew. Do you guys have any other things you wish to discuss today? Comments, needs? I see Ken and then Stanley. So Ken, go ahead first.
Just briefly, I met with I asked and attended the Ashland Gallery Association board meeting a week ago. And yesterday had an invitation for a very brief introductory exchange with the Snyder Museum's Museum Council. I didn't attend the meeting there, and I think they want to invite me as appropriate. They were a little more circumspect about information that they were planning. With regard to the Gallery Association, they're struggling in the same ways that we might be. They're looking for new members and updating their database, and they are trying to get funding from a number of sources, and they have an event that they are in the planning stages of in May to be held at a barn out on East Main, 25 booths, silent auction. And I think as we get more information, we'll want to support that. Having said all that, we've sort of established at least a brief, the beginnings of connection.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that update. Stanley.
Yeah, just I don't know if everybody knows the artist John Pugh. Do you know him? He's a world famous muralist. He's done murals all over the world, and he moved to Ashland about a year ago. And I got to know him, and I know that he's probably going to be coming to us in the future. He's in discussions with the Elks Club. There's a big wall there, and he wants to do a mural. And you know, I met him through, he didn't even know I was a commissioner. I said, well, a project like that needs to be approved by the Arts Commission. And so he called me last week and just to give me a heads up about this meeting with the Elks. I'm just mentioning it now as a possible project that will be on our agenda in the future. If you Google his name, John Pugh, he's incredible. His work is absolutely amazing.
P-E-W? How do you spell Pew?
P-O-U-G-H. I've got his book here somewhere.
It's P-U-G-H.
P-U-G-H, yeah.
Aaron.
Stanley, did you take the opportunity to provide him with the mural packet so he could discuss with the Elks?
No. In fact, you're reminding me that we have a mural packet. So
yeah, because it would be really worthwhile for him to have that conversation about the public art agreement, because the
right.
Whoever is the owner of the Elks Club would need to sign that agreement.
I gotcha.
If he could bring that to that meeting, that'd be really helpful.
So could you send that to me, Aaron?
100%. Yep.
Okay, thanks.
You can put it in the Dropbox.
Yeah.
Well, the packet is on our website.
It is, but I'll send it to Stanley. It's fine.
That's okay. Very accessible. Other questions, comments? We are kind of coming to the end, but once again, I did throw out that what do we do now as we get closer to the installation of the Jennifer Corio sculpture? I'm a little worried and am now having trepidation because of even the issues with trying to think about planning medallions and how it's hard to even get people to open a box. So, anyways, just keep that in your mind. I guess we want to visualize what type of event we want to see and what we wish to unfold and how that will be planned. And that's going to be in the future. It's going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts or comments? I know it's a long haul. Just to
my only thought about that, Jennifer, is I wonder if we should pick a date that's like so far out that we don't have to worry about any conflicting installation schedule. So if we pick like June for an unveiling, even if it's already installed for like 3 weeks or a month or something, I don't know how you feel about that. It's sitting out there in the public before we get to unveil it, but that would alleviate some of that concern about jumping right on it. You know,
right.
or shifting the schedule of us planning some kind of unveiling. We just know that it'll definitely be installed by that date, and then we can just plan around a single date that's far enough in the future. We don't have to worry about the installation schedule.
Yeah. So my questions are, how realistic is it to know how quickly things are definitely going to get installed these days? Also, is it required to have the medallions in the ground when the sculpture is celebrated? Should all of these be simultaneously? So that's a whole question that I'll keep asking Aaron And I want your input too. Like I do not want to have the hub installed and celebrated with the medallion still sitting in a warehouse. So
yeah.
These are some things that we have to consider. I love that idea of thinking forward. I guess maybe I'll push a little bit more with Jennifer. Yeah. She's like, you know, maybe March, but maybe realistically, if I said to her, well, how about June? Maybe we could dream of June. Aaron, though, you're going to know the city's kerfuffles at this point. So Aaron, do you have any response?
Not really. I mean, I think we're a little premature to be trying to set a date. There's no way, no matter what happens, the medallion, I hear that everyone wants the medallions installed before we unveil the sculpture. That totally makes sense. And the sculpture needs to be installed. Obviously, things need to be in place before we have that date. I just think we're too far out to be able to set that date, because we don't want it to be months and months after it's been installed. And I don't have any confidence that I can tell you by this date, this will be done. And then, of course, Jennifer and Dave are going to be leading up some of those charges, those towards the final installation. So I think we're probably just a little bit premature to talk about scheduling, but talking about what it is we want to do, how we want to promote it, are certainly conversations that can take place now.
Sounds good.
And I just have the wondering if a first Friday would not be a really cool time to do that while people are already out and about and in the railroad district looking at other galleries. I mean, it just seems like that, why not kind of capitalize on that foot traffic that's already out and about? That's just my wondering.
Oh, that's a great placeholder to really consider a first Friday. I agree. It would be a natural for advertising, for promoting. So I really, let's focus on that. And so if it's my thought and my assumption is it will be in a month where it will be light, late, you know, at 5. So sometime May forward seems realistic. And so let's keep that in mind.
Premature, but July 1st is on a Friday. And June 3rd and the July 4th weekend may be a consideration.
Yeah, that could be fun.
So we'll see.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just keep you posted. We'll keep pushing along the medallions and talking to Jennifer and Dave, and we'll just keep on going. You guys are doing great. We're doing so many things. I am really proud of you all. Thank you for your hard work. And Ken,
I just wanted to say special thanks to Joel and Destiny for the work on the plaque project. Joel's under the weather is not a help. And we're sorry. We hope you do better. You look good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the work you've done and are continuing to pursue with that plaque. I think it's going to really enhance the whole project.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
Really, thank you. Have a great day, great weekend.
See everyone.
You too. Thanks,
Jennifer.
Bye. Thank you.